alongside Super Bowl champion Sean King, I'm Scott Seidenberg in for Tim Murray. It is the nightcap here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Week 13 in the NFL has come to a close. We turn the page to week 14, and we are in the home stretch of the NFL season, Sean. And let's react to that Monday Night Football game that we saw the Patriots beat the Buffalo Bills. Heavy wind conditions, the unders across the board, passing numbers, and the point totals were the smart play. The Pats looked like what we're going to see in the Army-Navy game this weekend. No passing and a ton of running. But now they find themselves as the top seed in the AFC, plus 300, the favorite to win the conference, plus 700 to win the Super Bowl. Just how good is this Patriots team?
They're extremely good, Scott, and I've been saying for a month, I actually have a 16-1 ticket on New England to win the AFC.
Wow.
That the Patriots are the most complete team in the AFC conference. And when you start to look at the statistics, second in defensive points allowed. They're only giving up 14.5 points a game. That's unbelievable. You couple that with the fact they're averaging 123.5 yards rushing, then the most amazing statistic for New England. They are third in the NFL in turnover differential. They are plus 10, and that's with a rookie quarterback. It speaks volumes about Bill Belichick's ability to motivate men and coach the game of football. Outstanding performance. They don't make excuses. They don't use crutches. They just go out. They perform, whether it's windy, whether it's raining, whether it's cold, whether it's indoors, whether the quarterback has to use the forward pass or not. They find a way to win, and that's the team that I want to back, and I will be backing the New England Patriots for the remainder of this season, as I have since about week four.
You know, it's amazing what Bill Belichick has done this season, and he's the favorite to win the Coach of the Year, probably should win this award, but you could say that about him every single season. He's only won it three times in the past, and that was when the Patriots had 14 wins, and the 16-win season. He hasn't won it since the 16-win season, and you wonder why. Well, it's because the Patriots are always expected to be good. This year, though, there wasn't those expectations. Sure, people believed that they were going to be better than where they were last season. They had a lot of players opt out due to COVID. It was the first year without Tom Brady. Cam Newton comes in. He does okay. But it was definitely an adjustment period. This offseason, Belichick did a good job acquiring talent, bringing in guys like Matthew Judon, and drafting the heir apparent in Mac Jones, and deciding to turn over the reins to Mac Jones instead of going with the veteran Cam Newton for maybe a couple of weeks and then bringing Mac Jones along. Remember, Mac Jones was an underdog to take the first snap of the season, if you looked at the betting numbers. And with that decision, it changed the entire outcome of this season. And Belichick, I think he can win General Manager of the Year. Right. There is an award for that. But really, Coach of the Year, this might be his finest job coaching.
I agree, and I don't know if he can win it just because of what the guy in Arizona, Cliff Kingsbury, is doing, especially winning games with Colt McCoy.
2-1.
Right, and Kyler Murray's absence. I think that speaks volumes about the job he's doing. But to me, Belichick's elite because he's willing to make the tough decisions. Perfect analogy is he said Tom Brady may have a couple years left, but for the organization's health, we need to move in a different direction and restart the next decade. Think about the Pittsburgh Steelers. If 2 years ago they had decided that, listen, Big Ben, we appreciate everything that you've done for this organization, but it's time for us to move in a different direction, they would be sitting in a more healthy position now than they are. So I just give Belichick all of the credit in the world because he's continually pushed the right buttons, even when they weren't the popular decisions, and he has not wavered. And when you look at this roster, it's like guys just know how to play the game of football. Last night, game on the line, they're in man coverage. 41 is, he has the guy crossing the field, yet he sees Josh Allen's eyes and comes off to deflect the ball because the eyes of the quarterback are telling him that he's throwing the ball to someone else. Like, just their attention to detail, their ability to overcome adversity, their ability to never blink during the game is elite, and that starts at the top. You take on the personality, demeanor of your head coach, and you know, kudos to Bill Belichick, man. Patriots have to be, their fan base has to be, like, just overwhelmed with joy. I said coming into this draft that Mac Jones was head and shoulders the best quarterback that would be available in this draft. Think about if you're a Jets fan or a 49ers fan. Even though the 49ers are getting healthy, they still know there's a ceiling with Garoppolo. Man, what a job by Bill of not panicking, not moving up, not giving up future assets, just sitting tight and getting the guy he wanted, and then having enough trust in his decision-making to, as you say, move on from Cam Newton. I'm a Cam Newton fan, but he's not better in 2021 than Mac Jones is.
It was the perfect fit as well, because you know Belichick trusts Mac Jones because he trusts Nick Saban. And his relationship with Nick Saban helped in his drafting of Mac Jones because he knows the player that he's going to get, right? And if people don't realize, those guys talk all the time. All the time. And so he knew exactly who he was getting, and he was comfortable making this guy his starting quarterback. And it's not like Mac is doing – so he's not winning the games for them, but he's not losing them. He's doing the perfect job of what that team needs to do. They're running the ball, but it's not like there's one guy. They're doing it with multiple running backs. They're doing it with multiple receivers. They don't have one star guy. This is very reminiscent of the Patriots of old.
Yeah, it sounds like Tom Brady.
It is. It's the ultimate flashback. Yeah. This is early Tom Brady now. And it really is amazing to watch. And the other thing that it hasn't been mentioned a lot, but with this defense, as good as they have been, Bill Belichick traded away Stephon Gilmore.
He did.
One of the best corners in the
who's
NFL.
Who's done what in Carolina?
Exactly. And the Jalen Mills was persona non grata in Philadelphia,
He was.
Like, they hated him. I used to host an Eagles show, and the callers hated this guy, right? And now he is having a renaissance season. J.C. Jackson's having a tremendous year. You know, bringing back Kyle Van Noy. I mentioned Matthew Judon. It's just been an incredible job at Bill Belichick building this team, but the execution has been there. Now let's look at the Pats moving forward and try and figure out what's going to happen down the stretch here. So they get the bye, which comes late, and you'll
but at
be
a great
to,
time because Damian Harris potentially has a slight hamstring pull. You get an extra week.
But
to
as
rest
a player,
him.
How important is it to get the bye later rather than earlier? Because now the playoff stretch is coming here. You get this rest now, and your bodies are going to be as good as they're going to be for these final couple of games.
It just depends. Like, some teams probably needed it earlier because they were battling injuries, and the Patriots, as it pertains to them, they started slower. Mm-hmm. They gained a lot of momentum. Now they've got a couple guys banged up because the linebacker went out. He was limping. Judon went out, said he couldn't breathe. So it gives those guys a chance to get healthy for this home stretch. And when you look at this schedule, I mean, it's kind of daunting because the Colts are playing much better.
Sure.
But Buffalo has to come to New England. Then you get a freebie with Jacksonville. And I think Miami's a little overrated. I think they're beating up on the bottom of the league, but we'll see.
Does this team finish with the number one overall seed in the AFC?
Absolutely, I think so. I think they earn the bye, and they get the home field advantage throughout the playoffs. I think, and listen, I like them to win the AFC. You can't show me anyone outside of Derrick Henry potentially coming back in Tennessee and them having a healthy Derrick Henry, Julio Jones, and A.J. Jones for me to feel like there's a legitimate threat. Everyone else is just too inconsistent.
So are you saying the Pats win out and go 13-4, or are you giving them one loss here?
I think they might lose once, so I'll give them 12-5.
Okay,
12-5. I don't know which game that is, but
can anybody else in the AFC get to 12-5? The Ravens are 8-4 right now. Can the Ravens win out or potentially only lose one game?
I just think the injuries have finally caught up with Baltimore. You know, Lamar Jackson was playing like Superman in the first part of the season. But, you know, they just lost another, the cornerback, if I'm not mistaken, from
Marlon Humphreys.
Yes, he's out. So, I mean, the injuries just continue to come, and eventually it becomes too much. That's what you're seeing.
What about the Chiefs?
You know, I was looking at their schedule.
Raiders, Chargers, Steelers, Bengals, Broncos.
You know, they have the five most finicky teams in the entire National Football League. I mean, all five of these teams, if they show up on their good day and win, but if they don't, then they could go 5-0 down the stretch. I still don't think that's mama's cooking. And I keep saying that. My mother is wonderful in the kitchen. When I go to a nice restaurant, I say, yeah, that's nice, but that's not mama's cooking. Analogy being, this is not the Chiefs of 2018. You know, I don't know what Denver was thinking. Vic Fangio, Mike Shula should put themselves in timeout.
Yeah.
It's a 10-3 game. They have the ball inside the 10-yard line with under 30 seconds left on 4th and 2. No one seems to understand what the play is. The running back's running off the field. He's running back on the field. Instead of calling timeout, they had two. They go for it and don't get it. Kick the field goal. And don't give me that perceptive, well, against the Chiefs, you have to score touchdowns.
I agree.
They had 10 points.
I agree.
They ultimately scored 16 on offense. The 22 came from a pick six. They're not the same team on offense. If you don't self-destruct, the Chiefs are beatable week in and week out. They are playing better on defense, but they're not playing that good.
What worries me is that the Chiefs keep winning without being mama's cooking.
Right.
And when they figure out the recipe and the ingredients are just right and it becomes mama's cooking, they're going to put restaurants out of business.
Here's what's crazy, though. This started last year. Like, remember they had all those big numbers and they couldn't cover them?
Yes, they had a long streak of not covering games. Yep. Absolutely.
I think people are playing a lot of too high safety looks. They're forcing Patrick Mahomes to be patient, to be methodical, to put drives together, and that's not in his DNA. Mm. He wants to get aggressive. You see a lot more turnovers. They're dropping the ball now, which is something they haven't done in the past, so we'll see. I'm going to fade the Chiefs if at all possible, but when you look at that schedule, who knows? They could go 5-0 or 1-4.
Yep. He's Sean King. I'm Scott Seidenberg in for Tim Murray. Coming up next, is it time to hit the panic button in Buffalo? It's the Nightcap here on VSiN. The Nightcap is brought to you by Zyn Nicotine Pouches, a fresh way to enjoy nicotine without all the baggage of cigarettes, dip, or vape. No more smelling like an ashtray, no more spit cups, and no batteries to charge or leaky equipment to deal with. Zyn Nicotine Pouches are smoke-free, spit-free, and available in 10 varieties like Spearmint, Wintergreen, Citrus, and many more. And for your convenience, each variety comes in 2 strengths, so you can easily find the satisfaction level that's perfect for you. Zyn, America's number one nicotine pouch, is available in over 100,000 locations nationwide, meaning it's never been easier to find your Zyn. So head on over to Zyn.com/find to locate a store near you. That's ZYN.com/find. Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. Alongside Sean King, I'm Scott Seidenberg, and for Tim Murray, it's the Nightcap here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. You know, last night, Sean, I talked about how appealing and appetizing and delicious and mouth-watering the Buffalo Bills to miss the playoffs at plus 650 was. And when I woke up this morning and checked the line, it was down to plus 350.
Wow.
Now, I'm not saying this is going to happen, but it very well could. The Buffalo Bills are at 7-5 right now. And currently, by virtue of tiebreakers, in possession of the 7th seed in the AFC. They play in Tampa this week, a place where the Bucs do not lose.
At all.
If they lose this game, which they are underdogs in, so let's say that they lose this game, they will fall to 7-6. And then, if they lose to the Patriots in Foxborough, that will be a 7th loss. At best, this team will be 10-7. And at 10-7, it might not be good enough to get into the playoffs. Do you think that this Bills team is in trouble and in jeopardy of missing the postseason?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I've said, and I only pause because the statistics are so misleading. When it comes to Buffalo, they're only giving up 15.5 points a game.
Yeah, that's because they shut out some terrible teams.
Fourth in the NFL, +9 in turnover differential, and they're 8th, only giving up 259.3 yards a game. But, like you said, it's the opposition that gives me pause. Like, even their good wins, Scott, they beat Kansas City when Kansas City was trying to figure it out. I think halftime lasted, like, 1 hour and 50 minutes. Remember they had the weather delay? Yep. You know, they beat Miami when Miami was terrible early in the year. And, like, their other wins, Washington when they were bad, Houston, you know, the Jets, yep. the Saints. Like, so until they actually play an upper echelon NFL team now and show me that they can line up and win the game, I'm going to fade the Bills. Now, I might not be as bullish on them missing the playoffs, and it's not because of them, but it's because I don't know if I can trust anybody that's below them because these teams have a lot of deficiencies
and issues as well. So you figure the Bengals right now, I think, are making the playoffs. They're 7-5 by virtue of the tiebreaker. They're in right now.
Yep.
They're in right now. I still think they have a chance at the division. And if they win this division, then the Ravens would fall to a wild card. I think both the Ravens and the Bengals are in the playoffs.
Okay.
The Chargers, same deal. I think the Chargers are in. Because I think the Chargers are still in the division race with the Chiefs. Chargers beat the Chiefs, all of a sudden they're winning the division. And I think both those teams get into the playoffs. The Steelers are the X factor here. And it's not because of how they're playing. It's because of that tie.
Mm-hmm.
That tie could be the reason the Steelers get into the playoffs ahead of the Buffalo Bills. And it starts on Thursday. If the Steelers beat the Vikings on Thursday, they're getting into the playoffs. If they lose that game, they're not getting it.
And you think the Vikings, no Dalvin Cook, probably no Adam Thielen. So, I mean, I don't bet against the Steelers. I hate to bet with them because it's some of the worst football you can ever watch when the money's involved and attached to, you know, watching that debacle. But I had them on the money line versus the Ravens. I thought it was a good spot. I think they're +3 on Thursday night. Minnesota going to take them on the money line in this game. You know, Tomlin just finds a way. I mean, he has the greatest quotes in the history of NFL. what did you think about the Ravens going for two? Well, they're very aggressive analytically, which makes them predictable. Hey, what a shot at all the analytical guys out there. So the question started with the Bills. I think they may get in, but I definitely think they're one and done.
Okay.
If we can put the graphic up that had – the odds on the teams to make the AFC playoffs and miss it. I was trying to look for some value. My eyes kept going to the Dolphins, who were +800.
A lot has to happen. They have to win out for them to make the playoffs.
Even at 6-7.
It's going to be 10-7 is going to be the fine line here.
Okay.
And so can they win out? That would mean that they're going to beat the Patriots in the final week of the season.
So they're on a bye. They have the Jets, the Saints, the Titans. They'll probably be favored in two of those three games. They might be a pick 'em, depending on who Tennessee has playing.
Mm-hmm.
But they very easily could not get the best New England team. Bill could opt to sit some of his guys if they have it locked up.
He doesn't do that. They had everything locked up, and they went for the undefeated season.
He's older
the Giants.
Now. Maybe he's mellowed a little bit.
they had nothing to play for in that game against the Giants. They went for the perfect season. They went for it, and they almost lost that game. And then, obviously, they lost the rematch in the Super Bowl.
If it does come down to that, at least the game's in Miami.
Sure, and the Patriots have struggled in recent years going down to Miami, especially late in the year when they go out of the cold of New England and then down to the warm weather in Miami. But I think you look at the Colts, who are 7-6.
Okay.
The Raiders still have a chance at 6-6, although I'm not a believer in them. The Browns at 6-6 have a chance. I just think the Dolphins, as good as they're playing now, you mentioned, though, that they are beating bad teams. I don't see them winning out. I think they'll suffer one more loss, and I don't think that 8 losses can get you into the playoffs, because I'm saying that the Bills at 10-7 might miss the playoffs, because if the Steelers finish at, you know, 10-5-1, they're in.
Right.
It would be 10-6-1, excuse me. 10-6-1 gets them into the playoffs over the 10-7 Buffalo Bills. And right now, if the Chargers and Bengals both finish at 10-7, they'll both have the tiebreaker over the Bills.
Right.
So this is going to be really interesting to see down the stretch. The reason why I'm not a believer in the Bills, and I never was this season, is because I think they're soft. They are not a physical football team. When your leading rusher is your quarterback, well, not really, I mean, but he's essentially is, if you look at yards per carry. But he's the best runner, I should say. Not the leading stat yardage guy, but he's the best runner on that team. Last night, against the Patriots, with that weather, how does Josh Allen only run the ball 6 times all on quarterback scrambles? How is there no designed runs for the most effective runner on your team? What is Sean McDermott doing? What is Brian Daboll doing? Brian Daboll was like a dog with a tail between his legs going up against Bill Belichick. He got completely outcoached. Josh McDaniels did a much better job calling plays last night than Brian Daboll did.
See, to me, McDermott's background's on the defensive side, so I lean more towards how do you not stop an offense that's decided we aren't going to utilize the forward pass?
Well, they couldn't because they can't stop the run. They're a soft team. And look at what the Colts did to them. Jonathan Taylor ran all over them.
I know. And
if you run on the Buffalo Bills, you will beat the Buffalo
Bills.
But
don't ask them that in the postgame presser because they'll get all their underwear up in a little tight little ball. And why are you asking us that? Like, come on, guys. You had 11 guys in the box, and New England still rushed for over 200 yards. That is a physical beatdown.
You know what happens is, and it happened on that Damian Harris touchdown run. When you play nine guys in the box, mm-hmm. right, you don't have two safeties deep.
Right.
So if that running back gets to the second level because everyone's blocked, there's no one back there.
But here's the problem. They never made the adjustment of playing more downhill as a defense. So if you have that many guys close to the line of scrimmage, what you're supposed to do is start running your linebackers through those gaps. They did it late in the fourth quarter, but for some reason throughout the game, they weren't getting many tackles for losses. The Patriots were gaining 3 yards, 6 yards. Then eventually they popped a couple big runs. So, I mean, there's some soul searching that has to be done in Buffalo, not just on offense, but on defense as well, because McDermott got that job because of his defensive prowess.
I agree. I just think that they're soft. That's why.
Which is crazy considering they live in a blue-collar town where the weather is awful.
They can't 10 stop.
10 months out the year.
Can't stop the run. And that's what's gonna. That's what they're going to have to do. I mean, I think that they go into Tampa this weekend and Leonard Fournette is going to abuse them. Abuse them.
See, I don't know if I can use abuse in Leonard Fournette. I mean, he might navigate, some tackles.
Mm-hmm.
His abusing days, he left those in Baton Rouge.
Well, Tom Brady, MVP, Leonard Fournette's going to run on them. Bucks are going to win. The Bills will drop to 7-6, and the panic button should have already been pressed, but it'll be absolutely time to hit the panic button in Buffalo. Let's head up to Orchard Park.
As we go to break, watch this. The Bucks are winning by an average of 26 points at Ray J if you take out the Cowboy game.
Wow. Sal Capaccio covers the Buffalo Bills, and he is their sideline reporter as well. Will join us coming up next. He's Sean King. I'm Scott Seidenberg. It's the Nightcap here on VSiN. Is almost here with everything you need to bet smarter on every bowl game. This year's guide provides matchup analysis on all the bowl games, including insights, trends, data, and predictions to help you make your best bets. The guide is designed to give you an edge whether you are betting on every game, playing contests, or just want to find a few key high-value props. The guide drops December 13th. Make sure to get your copy today for only $19.99 at vsin.com/subscribe. Alongside Sean King, I'm Scott Seidenberg, in for Tim Murray here on the Nightcap on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Let's head out to upstate New York right now. We welcome in Sal Capaccio, covering the Buffalo Bills, sideline reporter as well, host of the Extra Point Show on WGR 550. And Sal, you still holding yourself down with that win from last night? I mean, that was crazy.
Oh, yeah. It was unbelievable, guys. Look, I have been the radio network sideline reporter for the Bills for 8 years, my eighth year. That was the worst wind that I had ever been involved in. I mean, it was really bad out there. It was pretty crazy. We knew it was coming for a good week. We had heard that it was going to be bad, and you never know how the forecast changed. It never changed. And it was whipping out there really, really tough. And you could see it. You could see it. Obviously, it was a big impact on the game.
Well, there was obviously no surprise in what the Patriots were going to do offensively. They did not pass the ball at all. They just ran. Are you a little surprised by Brian Daboll's play calling that there wasn't more of an onus on maybe getting Josh Allen involved in the running game or just really trying to press home that rush attack?
The first part, yes. It's been something we've been calling for here for a while. I'm really not sure why Allen hasn't been involved in more design runs. Look, I know they paid him $250 million, right, in a contract extension recently. You don't want to get him hurt, but he's a big part of their rushing attack, and he has been since he's been here, and he's averaging 5 to 6 yards a carry. Still, and he still has plenty of carries. It's not like it's a small sample size. especially in the red zone. I think he's been super effective there the last several years. They really didn't get that going, and they were 1-for-4 in the red zone. I thought that that was something they could have done. But overall running, no. I mean, that's not how the Bills are built. They have trouble running the football. I just read a stat today that since Josh Allen's been the starting quarterback of the Bills, they've only had two running backs with a 100-yard game, which is unbelievable over the last few years. You know, they are not built to run the football. They're not a real physical team. They're built to play like teams play in 2021, to have their elite franchise quarterback throw the ball around and have these great wide receivers. So I am surprised in the first part, not the second part. The other thing I'll say is he threw the ball really well. I mean, I was so impressed being down on that field how well Josh Allen threw that ball considering the wind conditions.
Sal, you look at offensively, there might be some question marks about the play calling, but let's be honest, Sean McDermott got that job because of his defensive prowess. That's why he's the head coach of the Buffalo Bills. Yet, in a game where the opposition basically disregarded the forward pass, New England was still able to move the football and running on the ground. Tell me, is it a toughness issue? Is it a lack of talent? Like, what's the temperature there about last night's performance on defense?
You know, you get twisted here, right? Because as you guys know, Sean, you can't take away the one run. It counts, right? But if you take away the 64-yard run, the Bills held them to less than 4 yards a carry on over 46 carries. And I think any NFL team would take that, essentially, right? But that one run did count, and it was a big run. And, you know, that was a big part of the game. But you're right. I mean, like, this has been something that has hampered them this year. The Indianapolis Colts came in, ran for 267 yards 2 weeks ago. And then the Patriots come in and run for 222. Obviously, on all of those carries, they're going to get some with their volume of carries. But I don't know if it's a toughness issue, a size issue. I think they've had some size issues in the past. Star Latulele was out of that Indy game because he was on the COVID list. He was back in this game. One of the things I'll tell you, too, you know, I said on the offense, the Bills are built to play in 2021. They are on defense, too. They have built this team to basically get after the passer. They are leaner and more athletic along the defensive front, and that hurts them against bigger, more physical offensive lines. But it helps them when they play teams like the Kansas City Chiefs, and you saw what they did on Sunday night. So it's just a matchup thing, I guess, at this point, where if they play a physical offensive line, they're going to have some troubles.
Sal, what's the panic meter at right now with the game going in Tampa against the Bucs here this week?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, fans are on edge right now. The Bills are holding down the seventh and final playoff spot, a team that, you know, most expected to win the division. They were the favorite for it. They're still, believe it or not, one of the top, I think, four or five favorites in the betting line to, you know, win the Super Bowl. Because I think if you take the AFC, you look at roster for roster, I think you can still make an argument the Bills are right there with any team in the AFC. But certainly this is going to be tough. And I think the bigger reason, too, here is they are without Tre'Davious White now, right, guys? I mean, he got hurt a couple of weeks ago on Thanksgiving night. It didn't matter in the game against New England. We knew it wouldn't. New England was going to throw the football. But against Tom Brady and all those receivers, you know, not having Tre'Davious White is going to hurt them. But I will also tell you, I think the Bills are built to play this kind of game, to score, to throw the ball. Tampa isn't a great team against the pass. They've had some DB issues. And I think maybe we're going to see the opposite of what New England did for the Bills on Sunday, and maybe Josh Allen just throws it 45 times.
You know what's interesting is you look at the rest of this schedule, Sal. Tampa, Carolina, repeat against the Patriots, Falcons, Jets. What do the Bills go down the stretch? That's five games. Is this a 4-1 stretch? Is this a 2-3, you know, finish to the season? In your opinion, how do they finish up this year?
Well, they've rotated wins and losses over, what, their last seven, I think, win-loss, like that. And that's one of the troubling things is under Sean McDermott, they've been so consistent. He's a really good head coach. He runs a great program, but they've been inconsistent. And, you know, according to that, you can't discount anyone. I mean, the loss to the Jacksonville Jaguars. But, guys, I truly believe, like, this team is more talented than pretty much all of those teams on that list. Now, they lost to New England. We know. They can also beat New England. They were 6 yards away from getting the game-winning touchdown, mm-hmm. after all. It's going to be a tough game against Tampa. They can win that game. They're also, it's just a field goal, you know, point spread right now. I think this is probably a 4-1 look, however that looks. If they go 3-2, probably still make the playoffs. I don't know. 4-1 gets them in. And once they're in, I think they can play with anybody in the AFC. So everything they want is still in front of them. It's going to be a little bit tougher. And look, if they happen to win in Tampa, which is not discounted, you could do that. The Patriots play the Colts next week. The Bills play the Panthers. That could set these two teams up to play again for maybe the division once they go to New England. And the Bills are hoping that that is the case once they go to New England on the day after Christmas.
Now, anything could happen in this league. I think we've seen that a lot of Bills going to Jacksonville and losing. But, Sal, what if I told you since the Bucs home opener versus Dallas, Their average margin of victory at Ray J is 26 points.
I wouldn't doubt it. Look, I'll tell you this, though. Take a look at the Bills' schedule and the games they've won and the games they've lost. When the Bills have lost, other than the Colts game, which they got blown out, they've lost by one score every time. When the Bills have won, they've blown out their opponents. Now, that's home and away. So I would say the same thing. I mean, look, it looks like to me these two teams are great when they're ahead. When they're ahead, other teams can't catch up because of the style of play. They can't play with the Bills or play with the Patriots when they're rolling. That's a great stat, of course. And look, it's Tom Brady. We know all about him here. He dominated the Bills for 20 years. We all know that. There's a fear bunker being built in every basement of Western New York about Tom Brady and a separate one for the New England Patriots themselves. All right. Whenever this guy shows up, he's like Jason or Michael Myers. He just keeps coming back no matter how many times you think that he's gone. So there's a psychological aspect, too, I think, from the fan base here. But look, both these teams, I think, have the talent to basically blow the other out if the other team makes mistakes. So we'll see what happens. Obviously, you know, going down to Tampa is going to be tough. But I'm looking forward to 80 and sunny, or maybe 72, I guess, on Sunday, as opposed to what I had on Monday night. I'll tell you that.
If this team makes the playoffs as a wild card and they have to match up with the likes of Kansas City, we've seen that already, Baltimore or Tennessee, which matchup would scare you the most from a Bills perspective?
Believe it or not, I think even though they beat them, it'd be Kansas City, because you can't discount Patrick Mahomes, right? In the way that they're playing defense now. But the Bills, they were 1 foot away, basically, of probably beating the Tennessee Titans on a Monday night, and that's with Derrick Henry. Now they don't have Derrick Henry. They're a much different team without Derrick Henry, as we know. And the Bills have done a great job against Lamar Jackson since Sean McDermott has been the head coach. And I just don't think that they could score against the Bills enough. We saw what happened last year in the playoffs here. They couldn't score against them. I think the Bills could handle them. You know, they're pretty. Baltimore's defense is playing better. They haven't been very good all year. I think Kansas City is the tough one. But in that sense, you know, we'll see. It would probably be in Kansas City if they won the division. The Bills would have to go back there. Guys, I'll tell you this. I think it's kind of funny. You guys know, playing in Buffalo in January, December, nobody wants to do that, right? You don't want to come up here and play the Bills. It's a psychological edge. But I think the Bills are actually built better to maybe even go on the road in the playoffs at some of these places instead of playing like the way that we saw, because they can't run the ball that well. And I think maybe getting somewhere, and I know the AFC has colder weather cities, but if they go to Tennessee or they go to Kansas City, I think they're more equipped to actually be able to do what they want to do on offense better.
Yeah, especially, I mean, look, a lot of things are yet to be played out here, Sal, but there's a chance that they might end up going to L.A., or you mentioned going to Tennessee. Right. You know, things could play out certainly in a multitude of ways. Sal Capaccio, he's the Bills sideline reporter, covering them for many years, WGR 550. Thanks so much for giving us a couple minutes here. Appreciate it.
All right, anytime. And, Sean, remember you from back in the day. My wife went to USF, and, you know, just good to be on with you, man. And take care, you guys. Thank you.
I appreciate it. And, Sal, before you go, the good thing is you can leave all your jackets at home this week. Tampa's sunny and beautiful, baby.
I already have the polo all dialed up. I am ready to rock and roll. We still have family down there. I used to live down a little south of Sarasota in the Englewood area. Nice. Anybody knows where that is. And my mother-in-law is still in Venice. So we're going to come down a little early. We're going to enjoy some sunshine, see some family. And the wife and kid are going to be able to enjoy some sunshine as well.
Awesome. You enjoy that, Sal. He's Sal Capaccio, covering the Bills, their sideline reporter for the past 8 seasons. Yeah, the panic meter could be at an all-time high if they lose this weekend. He's Sean King. I'm Scott Seidenberg. It's the Nightcap here on VSiN. Mitch Moss and Paulie Howard will be live from the new DraftKings Sportsbook at Foxwoods Casino Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. If you're in the area, come down and meet the guys. And be sure to tune in every day from 7 to 10 a.m. Eastern Time. Scott Seidenberg here in for Tim Murray alongside Sean King. It is the Nightcap on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. You were on Follow the Money.
I was. Thanks, Mitch, Paulie, for allowing me and Stormy to fill in this morning. We had a good time.
Yeah, the morning show is a lot different than doing a night show.
Oh, yeah, I got to take the kids to school. I mean, it was great. Yeah, man.
It's a much different feel. I did early mornings for years, and your sleep schedule is a little messed up because, you know, you sleep when you go home, and then because you're going to sleep, you know, usually for me at least, I wasn't going to sleep so early the night before because I was watching games.
Right.
So I'd sleep a little bit at night, go do the early morning show, and then sleep when I got home from work at like 10 a.m., 11 a.m.
Right, right. I had the morning show too. I like mornings, but you know, me and Tim, we rocking a nightcap. You filling in the night, then you after us.
Yeah.
So I can't complain. When we're getting off, you're just coming in.
Oh, I am a night owl. I absolutely. And you know what? Sometimes it's to my advantage because I get lines that I see up on the boards that change the next day.
Right.
And some of these are still, you're able to bet them. Right. Like I mentioned the Bills. Last night, the Bills to miss the playoffs were plus 650. I wake up in the morning, it's plus 350.
Wow.
These odds change all the time. We're seeing a lot of odds change, Sean, in the college football playoffs. Right. Well, just in bowl season in general.
Yeah.
And bowl season, it's so interesting. And I warned people against this last night.
Mm-hmm.
It might be fun. And I talked to Brad Powers last night, and he bet pretty much every game already. Right. And yes, you can look for numbers and you can jump on these games right now. But you really have to focus on who's in, who's out,
right,
who's coaching,
mm-hmm,
and what these coaches are going to utilize these games for. Because there are a lot of coaches that utilize the bowl games as an extension of the offseason,
right,
as a chance to get an early start on next season, to see what they have before spring practices. And some of the players that you have seen all season won't play in these games. So you can't just say, all right, one team was better than the other team during the regular season, so I'm going to bet that team. They could look like a completely different squad when the bowl game happens.
Yeah, and I think it's about, let's take the college football playoff out of it, just the other bowl games. It's about motivation. You know, my number one bet on the board right now, and I tell people to go ahead and get it, is Notre Dame.
I love that. That's my favorite bowl.
Those players are going to be fully locked in because they want to start Marcus Freeman off with a win.
Yep.
I also love Oklahoma. Oklahoma's in a situation where they're bringing back someone that was there for 11 years, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
And they want to move away from the fact that Lincoln Riley left them. They want to change the narrative. Caleb Williams is going to stay. They're going to go all out to win that bowl game and start Brent Venables off with a win.
Now, and Bob Stoops coaching that game.
Absolutely.
Trying to bring stability. And Venables was Stoops' longtime assistant.
Shout out to Coach Stoops and Coach Switzer. I had lunch with those guys today. And
where'd you go?
Great conversation. We were at Joe's Stone Crab at the Forum Shops next to Caesar.
I don't do that seafood stuff.
Yeah, well, you know, they had steak.
Okay, that's what I would.
You could have mixed it up. But, I mean, when the big dogs say, hey, what you doing? Come have lunch. You know, you go and have lunch. So
does the Stoops look like he's focused on this ball game?
No, he's going back to the broadcast. he was just making sure that the house didn't get broken right before the new owner got there. So Venables is on the job. He's going to be there. He's out recruiting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're ready to move on. And they think that's a upper echelon, top shelf job. And, you know, he's anxious to get out and see his guys compete. As it pertains to the college football playoff, I love Michigan. I will have a money line bet on Michigan.
Why is that?
Because I think the playoffs are about motivation. They're about how is that team playing right now. And what I thought you saw in the Georgia-Alabama game was Georgia had been slightly overrated. Through no fault of their own, their schedule had came up relatively light. I kept saying before the game, which is why I had Alabama money line, go back to the Kentucky game in Athens. 14-7 at the half, Kentucky was able to move the ball. They stalled in the red zone a little bit, but Alabama has better quarterback, better players. Michigan, Cade McNamara has really turned into an asset. People thought he was a liability.
Mm-hmm.
They run the football at an elite level, and why I really like Michigan, they have two first-round defensive linemen that are going to get after Stetson Bennett. And he showed you that if you can put pressure on him, he's capable of making some mistakes. I love the fact that Michigan has really turned it up on offense. 59 against Maryland, came back with 49 against Ohio State, and then finished up with 42 against Iowa. So they're scoring points. They're creating explosive plays. I know Georgia, Kirby Smart, they'll be ready. Pickens, the wide receiver from Georgia, will have some time to get all the way in football shape. But I like Michigan on the money line as an early bet. In the other game, when you watch the pregame warm-ups, you will not be able to tell the difference between Cincinnati's players and Alabama's players. And here's what I mean. Notre Dame-Toledo early in the year. Toledo had a chance to win, but it looked like a JV playing in varsity. Like, there was a huge size differential in the two teams. Luke Fickell has recruited his tail off. He has NFL-caliber guys on defense. They have a first-round corner there in Cincy. They're going to put him on Jameson Williams and see what happens. They'll be able to get after Bryce Young. I think Bryce Young is deserving Heisman winner, but they are not going to be afraid. Football is about confidence and emotion. That three-point loss to Georgia last year in the bowl game,
sure,
they're going to show up knowing that even though it's Alabama, they belong there. Alabama's in for a dogfight. I like Cincinnati plus the points.
That's – you're going up against the both public probably. Well, I think the public will be on Michigan because I think a lot of people will have a little recency bias about Georgia losing that football game. I think I'm asking the same question that a lot of Georgia fans are asking. Why isn't JT Daniels in at quarterback? I thought that Kirby Smart should have made the switch during the game. I think that Kirby Smart should consider making the switch going into the playoffs. He's probably not going to do it, but I think JT Daniels gives them a better chance to win offensively. Defensively, Georgia's going to have to get back to what they were doing all season. And Alabama was able to get them with a lot of the short slant games was working well, and Bryce Young was able to hit his receivers. Can Cade McNamara do the same thing? He can. He's shown that he has been able to, and Michigan has played against really good defenses this season. Iowa, very good defense this season. Michigan blew them out. You know, Ohio State, we all know the caliber of them. Michigan handled them very easily. Michigan State, Michigan was like the first team to put up points on Michigan State this year, right? They showed that they could pass on them. So Michigan's offense is capable of scoring. I actually really like the over in that game. It's a very low number because of the caliber of defense that we're seeing. But much like we saw in the SEC championship game, that number wasn't it was too low because everyone was like, oh, Georgia, Alabama, this is going to be like, remember the 6-3 game they played all those years ago and whatnot? Like, this is going to be one of those type games. No, it was obviously a high-scoring game. I think that's what you're going to see in this game between Georgia and Michigan. I like it to go over the, 44 right now? So I think it goes over that number because I think Michigan can score on Georgia, and I think Georgia will handle their own on offense as well. As for Alabama-Cincinnati, I find a very hard time betting against Alabama. But you're right on Cincinnati. And I said this when it was, you know, and keep in mind, I bet Houston in the AAC championship game. And they were covering. They had a chance to even go ahead. But after Cincinnati scored a touchdown, Clayton Toon throws an interception. Right. And then Cincinnati scores again. When you go touchdown, interception, touchdown, the game is over.
Right.
Right then and there. Because they were matching possessions with Cincinnati. So it was Houston scored, Cincinnati scored. Houston scored, Cincinnati scored. You keep going back and forth, that's how you cover a 13-point spread.
Right.
When you now throw an interception and allow Cincy to score, you just gave up a possession and they scored. Now you're chasing two possessions, and that was it. They weren't covering. And they had a chance at the end, too, but still, that was bad. But Cincinnati, and I felt the same way about Houston, you got to stop talking about them as group of five teams.
Right, they're not.
Cincinnati is not a group of five teams. Cincinnati is a Big 12 team.
You're right. They look like it.
And they'll be able to compete in the Big 12 immediately. As soon as they go there, they're competing. So I don't think that you look at them and be like, oh, small group of five school getting to the college football playoff. They're going to get blown out. No, they're the Big 12 champions, let's say. If you looked at this team and said, hey, they won the Big 12.
Right.
And they beat Oklahoma State and Baylor and Houston and UCF, who are going to be new Big 12 teams as well, right? They beat them. Well, now all of a sudden you're not looking at them as, oh, yeah, they're 14-point dogs to Alabama. You're looking at them as probably like 7.5, 8.5-point dogs against Alabama.
I love Cincy in the points. Can I ask you a location question? Why is the Michigan-Georgia game in the Orange Bowl
because,
in Hard Rock Stadium?
Because the first geographical matchup goes to Alabama. And so for Alabama to be at the Cotton Bowl was what they...
I'm just saying, I'm cool with playing in Miami. Why aren't they at Hard Rock, where the Dolphins play? Why are they playing at the Orange Bowl?
No, they are playing. It isn't Hard Rock Stadium. The Orange Bowl is just the name of the game. Orange Bowl only exists.
Okay,
Orange Bowl
okay,
is,
okay.
Orange Bowl is the Marlins.
I was like, I thought they tore the Orange Bowl down.
Yeah, it's gone.
Okay.
You don't come to the OB. You don't come to the OB.
I was looking at that like, whoa.
You don't come... Remember that? You don't come to the OB.
Shout out to Mario Cristobal.
It's the Nightcap here on VSiN.